prendere di sede?
Thank you.
morning to each and every one of you. Good to have visitors here with us today. We trust that you'll find yourself at home. You will enjoy your time of worship with us. And we're glad that you are here. And we hope to get to know you better in the future. So we'd like to see you come back more often and spend more time with us and worship God because He is worthy to be worshiped. And I'm telling you, I have enjoyed this morning's service already. Even though summer is here, I think everybody has graduated up to this point. I think we've had 6 or 7 graduates during this season, and I think we're done with that. I think this is the first Sunday where everybody's out of school, unless you're going to summer school. Who failed this year in going to summer school? No, never mind. Don't tell us. Maybe you're just going to summer school to get ahead and graduate early. I often wonder, Brother Jim, if they would let me be the director of education for the entire country. I think I've got it figured out how this could work really well. We'd go to school year-round. You'd graduate in 10 years instead of 12 years. You'd go to school till noon, eat lunch at noon, and then you'd go to work at 1 o'clock, come back at 4:30 to do all your sports, and then go home, and you'd be so tired, you wouldn't run the streets, you'd go to sleep, wake up fresh, start over again. I think it worked really well. I really think so. Wouldn't y'all like getting out at noon? I'm telling you, I loved it. I was in a program like that in the 10th grade, that when I'd go to school up until noon, eat lunch at school, I'd go straight to work, and then come back after school and do sports at 4:30 on, and I enjoyed it. Well, where would they work? Well, there's a lot of things owned by the county governments. We used to do all of our road construction, didn't we, Brother Lee, until we harvested, not harvested, we sourced it out. We can go and learn how to lay blacktop. We got some electricians, you know, go and learn how to be an electrician. A lot of bus barns. I mean, look at all these buses around Miss Clatchia. I mean, you go over there to the bus place, there must be about 70 buses over there. You can learn how to put air in tires. Isn't that amazing? You just ate lunch in a kitchen. Maybe you can learn how to wash some dishes. Oh, Lord, Pastor, let's preach. I knew the kids wanted that. Genesis chapter 50. What a day we have today. It's the day before Memorial Day, and we have this here day of remembrance for those that have served and died in military service for our country. Now, I was had the privilege of going to Canada last year during their Memorial Day time, and they have a wonderful little flower called a poppy that they sell and people wear as an outward emblem of remembering those that died in the Canadian military up there. But today is a little different than Veterans Day. Veterans Day is a day that we recognize everybody that served in our services and are still alive. Memorial Day is a day that we recognize and remember all those that died for our country in the line of duty. They gave the ultimate. So you and I could be here today and enjoy what we have today. We're able to go to our Florida beaches because many people your age went to the beach of Normandy.
Amen.
Yeah, and they didn't get to come back. They stayed. They died or gave their life so you and I can enjoy it. So it's a solemn holiday. It is. It's a time of remembering the sacrifice and joy. And so enjoy your time and time off, but remember the reason you're able to have time off, the reason you're able to go shop at Publix and not lay down in the aisleways is because somebody gave their all for you. So today we're going to look at a life, the life of Joseph, in line with our Memorial Day. So if we can kind of connected to the, I know Joseph lived thousands and thousands of years ago, but the Bible is still applicable for us today. And I think we can learn from it and enjoy the life of Joseph during this Memorial Day. Now, the value of remembering those that have lost their life so that you and I could have the opportunities we have today is that we learn from lessons. Lessons about choices that were made that brought about the need of a war in the first place. And so we learn from those lessons. Many times, Brother James, we learn from the courage that those demonstrated in giving us this opportunity, the courage it took to, and it refreshes us when we think about it. You know, it's an amazing thing. I'm going to say this as we go through this. When times of conflict arise in our country, they're always asking for our youth. Isn't that amazing? Same thing God asked for, isn't it? Is that in our youth, we will remember our Creator because there's strength there. There's courage. Listen, young people, don't let this world rob you of that courage. Do good. Be kind. See somebody that's a little less fortunate than you. Give a hand out and shake their hand and say, listen, my name is, look them in the face, don't text them. We live in a day and age where we text people living just sitting right next to us. I mean, look them in the face and say, hey, my name is, and if you need something today or this week or this year at school, come and let me know. I'd like to be a help if I can. And have that courage. And so we think about those boys that went over and stormed the beaches of Normandy and then went into Vietnam, into Desert Storm, into the current affairs and conflicts that we're in around the world today. And it gives us great courage to be able to enjoy the freedoms that we have. So there's value in remembering those. Another thing it does for us, it helps us to understand that there is value in life because they had to die that we might have this life that we live. And so as we think about that and look back at this and as we look at Joseph's, he had a plan. He wanted, I believe it was a biblical plan and that he had desired for people to remember him. Here's the question for us as we go along, as we get into this study, and we're going to be done real quick here by noon, a little afternoon, we'll be done. But think about this question here. What do you want to be remembered for? What do you want to be remembered for? All right. Genesis chapter number 50, the last chapter of the book of Genesis. Verse number 19, we'll read down to the end of the chapter, then we'll move over to Exodus 13 and read a verse there. Genesis chapter 50 and verse number 19, Joseph is coming to the end of his life. Verse 19 it says there, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God. Boy, isn't that a good place to be? Right in the will of God. Don't be God in God's place. Let God be in His place and be who He is. And Joseph said, "Am I in the place of God?" No, we're not. But sometimes we sure do try to be in God's place. Let God be who He is. He can't nobody do it better than Him. Verse 20. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now he's referring back to when his brother sold him into captivity and his life of hardship began. That's what he's referring back. He's speaking to his brothers. You meant it evil. But God took your evil and he meant it for good. Verse 21. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones, and he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. So he saw his grandchildren. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. So he's able to spend time with his grandkids. And verse 24, then Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land into the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died. Being 110 years old, they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. We'll go over to Exodus 13. Exodus chapter 13. Verse 19. You remember another time when Joseph was in prison, and there was the baker and the butler that was put down into prison with him because the Pharaoh was wroth with them, and he interpreted a couple of dreams that they had each to his own, and you know, one was put to death, one was put back in his place. And Joseph said this, remember me. Didn't work out too well, did it? Kind of took a couple of years, but he was remembered. Eventually, he was remembered. What did the butler remember? Hey, there was a man in prison that interpreted, what do you want to be remembered for? What do you want to be remembered for? Verse 19, Exodus 13, the Bible says, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For he had straightly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Joseph had a plan. Joseph had a desire that when he died, because he knew, I am not of this land. I am not of this place. I have been promised by God. God promised to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob that, hey, the land of Canaan, it's going to be yours. And Joseph, don't leave me here. Bring me out of this place. And in verse 19 of chapter 13, they did exactly what he asked for. Now, what is this here whole thing? What does it bring to your memory? What does it bring to your mind? For me, as I read this and I looked into this and trying to connect it with Memorial Day weekend for us, that we'd have a good understanding, it brought to my mind not only his death, because he's in a coffin now, his bones are there, but his life. And so as I looked at this, I wanted to kind of hone in upon the life and the death of Joseph at this time. Now, many people this weekend are making travels to go to different places to visit war memorials and look upon the walls and see the names and look at loved ones that had died and gone on in military conflicts and things of that nature. My grandfather and my father, myself and my sons, two of my sons, have all served in the military. So we have a connection there. So when I see these things, I begin to think and I begin to look at, and I remember those, the personalities. I some of the greatest friendships that I had honed in was during my military time. I still think about my bunk buddy, my battle buddy, as he got me into trouble many times. When I was just in basic training, but we had that friendship. I remember my first time I was an E5 and I was given a gun section to be the section chief of. I was a white man, and my best buddy was a black man. He was an E5, Sergeant Drake, and I still remember his name. I remember my platoon sergeant's name as if they was there, Sergeant Demps, E7 Sergeant Demps, and Sergeant Small, which was our gunny sergeant. And I remember them, and I see them even today in my face. I can remember. And I got out of the Army in 1993. I know some of you think, wow, man, you're pretty old, preacher. No, not yet. I was reminded yesterday I still got a long ways to go to get old. But it was a while back, and I remember them. And I remember learning during this time that as I was a white E5, and my best buddy, Sergeant Drake, was a black E5, they did a running test in our platoon. They put all black young men underneath me and underneath him. They put all white young men underneath him. And the test was to see if there would be any conflict within the realm of that because of the chain of command, you might say. And how well would we perform our duties? As it went on, without Sergeant Drake knowing and without myself knowing, this test went on. And with every test, either I was first place or he was second, or he was first and I was second. In the entire division of artillery, that was three battalions, and we were going neck to neck, neck to neck. And you know what never came up? Within us, that I was white, and these were black young men, and he was black, and these were white young men. We were all military people. Never came up. I was talking to somebody just this weekend, and we were talking about one of my daughter's bosses, and the gentleman I was talking with asked, he said, what race were they? And I said, never crossed my mind, because I don't want my children to ever think that dad thinks less of one race or another. Because why? Because God died and gave himself for the sins of the world. In God's eyes, there's no difference. The thing is that we're all sinners, undone, without Christ. And he shed his precious blood on me. So I remember the personalities of those. And this is some of the things that we do. We think back and we look back at the personalities of those that fought those great battles. That's what we do in the Bible. Right now we're thinking about at the personality of Joseph. What type of person was he? You know what I learned about Joseph, Sister Donna? He didn't allow his hardships, his difficulties, his being wrong to define who he was. That's what I learned about Joseph. Joseph had a difficult life. Do you understand? He was the favorite son of his father. He was kind of maybe even, if I can say this, he may have been even petted a little bit along the way. We know that his father made a coat of many colors and gave it to him, and it became a point of contention with his siblings and himself, that his brothers came to a point that they were willing at one point to even kill him. Put him in a hole, sold him into slavery. He didn't allow his difficulties and his family intricates and the problems within his close-knit family to define who he was. You know what he said there in Genesis? You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. And the next verse says there in Genesis chapter 50, I believe verse number 20, it says, maybe it's 22, and it said, Joseph nourished them and cared for them. What does that tell me about his character? He did not hold a grudge. He didn't hold on to with claws of steel upon the wrong that had been done to him. Why? Because he learned to forgive. Where did he learn to forgive? Because he had been forgiven by God. I think it would help us along the way as we study our own lives and study the lives of those that's in the Scripture to understand something, that nothing that we can do in this time in our life or in the past that the blood of Christ cannot cover.
Amen.
Nothing that you cannot do. And you have been forgiven. And if you have been forgiven, dear friend, we need to be like Joseph. And we need to forgive. He did not overlook their wrong. He confronted them with their wrong. He said, "You meant it for evil." Well, I didn't hear them. You know, there was no forgiveness. There's no asking for sorry. There was none of that. Joseph had already forgave them. And that's where we've got to get to the point. It is our job to forgive whether they receive it or not. And Joseph nourished them. He didn't allow the heartache and the pain. Think about this with me. After he became prime minister, we might say, he was second in command. At some point, he became second in command. Don't you think for one moment there might have been a whisper in the back of his ear, "Hey, do you remember those days that you spent in jail, those days that you spent in prison? Do you remember, Joseph, there was a certain woman that caused this?" What was her name? Potiphar's wife. That's all we know, right? Do you know that Potiphar, you know the whisper in his ear. Do you know that Potiphar could have had you released and said, "No, I'm not going to believe this"? He didn't take revenge on Potiphar and his wife, did he? Now think about this now. He's in jail. He's doing pretty well. And the butler and the baker is cast in there. And he asked the butler, and he says, "You know, you're going to go back up there. When you get there, please tell Pharaoh that, hey, I'm down here unjustly. Will you remember me when you're before Pharaoh? I mean, you have audience with him." A little while passed, some time, a year, 2 years, I forget the exact time frame. Then all of a sudden Pharaoh's having these dreams, and Pharaoh's disturbed, and Pharaoh calls the magicians, he calls the sorcerers, he calls all the wise men, and they can't give an answer. And all of a sudden the butler's probably standing there, Pharaoh, I remember there was a man in prison. So when you put us in jail, me and the baker, he interpreted our dreams. Perhaps he could help you. Joseph gets out. He cleans himself up. He goes before the king as he's there before the king, Pharaoh. And he says, "I can't do this, but God has power and he can interpret your dreams." And it's not long after that conversation, he's promoted to second command, right? Right in that same chapter. I have to imagine, Brother James, just for a little bit, in all this conversation, the Pharaoh probably, Brother Scott, probably had his cup refilled a little bit. After he's promoted, after he said, you know what he could have said to Pharaoh? Butlers were, may I say it like this, expendable. Joseph could have said it. You know, Pharaoh, that dude there left me in jail another 2 years. Can we just be done away with him? Didn't do it, did he? Why? He was a man that had been forgiven, and he did not allow all the wrongs that had been done to him define who he is. Church, we cannot allow the everyday life which we live, the consequences of sin, to define who we are. Why? Because if you are saved this morning, dear friend, God's will for your life is that you'll be conformed to the image of Christ. That is who and what you should become. That should define you, is that the greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. So when I think about the bones of Joseph, not just Joseph saying, "Hey, will you take me out of this land and my coffin and let me go?" I think about his life and his death. What caused them at this point to remember Joseph? Because others had forgotten him. You think for a moment that his brothers had not forgotten that he even... that they was even involved in this conspiracy, that they had gotten rid of their brother? Maybe it was in the back of their mind, but I guarantee you they didn't talk about it at the family reunions. I guarantee you, when they were there keeping the sheep and flocks, there was not a conversation around the fireplace that, hey, man, we shouldn't have done that. Well, how do you know that? Because when they go to get food in Egypt, because there's a great famine, they don't even recognize their brother. They have wiped him out of their mind until he calls, sits everybody out and says, hey, I am Joseph. And they remembered. They were terrified. They were afraid. He did not allow his hardships to define him. Neither did he allow the all of a sudden power that had been given to him define who he was. You know why they remembered him now? Because they remembered a man that was like a man after God's own heart. I know the Bible says that about David. But it could have just as well, God could have just as well wrote that about Joseph. They remembered who he was and what he was and how he treated them. You don't understand that Joseph was a type, a picture of in the Old Testament of Christ? You know Joseph was hated by his brothers? You know what the Bible says about Jesus in John chapter number 1? That he was hated. He came to his own, John chapter 1, verse 10, 11. Rather, he came to his own, but his own received him not. You know, it says in John chapter 15, verse number 18, it says that he was, if Jesus said this to his disciples, his followers said, if they hated you, don't be bothered with this because they hated me first. He was hated. You know, Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Joseph was sold as a slave. You know, Joseph became the human instrument of salvation for many through gathering of grain and putting grain aside and during the good years. Jesus said, I come to seek and save that which is lost. He came as a Savior, but He was a Savior that died for all mankind. Joseph was a type of Jesus Christ. So when I think about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think about Joseph as he comes along and he says to him here in Genesis chapter 15, verse number 19, hey, God's going to visit you. And when God visits you, remember me and take my bones out of this place. Look over at Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11, and look at verse number 22. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22, the Bible says, by faith, Joseph, when he died, this is what it said, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Joseph gave instructions by faith. What's faith? Back at verse 1 of chapter 11. Now faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Joseph had not seen the promised land, but he had a promise given to him. You remember he said he referred back to the promise and the commandment that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. By faith, he said, God's going to visit you. I believe it looked way beyond even this year of going into Canaan land. I believe it was almost a picture of more than that. If you would, look over in Hebrews 11, verse 39. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39. Now this is speaking about all of those throughout the chapter of faith, which includes Joseph. Verse 39, the Bible says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some a better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. When are we going to be made perfect? When Jesus comes back. This old body of flesh is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says that when the trump of God shall sound, those which are dead, which would include all of these in chapter 11, plus all throughout time, even those that died yesterday, and if Christ don't come back today, those that died today, all those that died will be caught up, and we which are alive, and remain shall be caught up together to be with them. I believe that even Joseph is looking beyond Canaan land. Now listen, God doesn't have to have you in a particular place to be buried in a particular place to get you whenever He comes back. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ because He knows His own. You don't have to be a certain zip code. But Joseph, I believe as he looked through this commandment, he understood something that, hey, the Canaan land, the promised land over there, he was looking for something beyond even that. Joseph's body was not going to stay in that grave in Egypt. And I'm telling you, dear friend, if you know Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, you shall be resurrected. And you will be with Him forever. Forever. Remembering at graves should also remind us of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the first fruits. And we will be, as He was resurrected, He was brought back to life, we shall be made anew, made perfect, made whole, have a new body in Christ. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And verse number 22. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 22. For as in Adam all died, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Even so in Christ shall we be made alive. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1 says, we were dead in trespasses and sin have been quickened or made alive. Look what it says in verse 23. But every man, listen to what it says, in his own order. God's a God of order, isn't He? Christ the first fruits, afterward. They that are Christ at His coming. At His coming. Talking about the resurrection. And being caught up together and living forever with the Lord. I think Joseph was looking way beyond that. I was thinking about Enoch. Enoch walked with God and was not. I mean, he said back there, way back in the book of Genesis, he was such a good fellow, a helper of the Lord and fellowship with the Lord, God, and spent time with Him, that God said, hey, come on up here. But you go over in Jude, the seventh from Adam, speaks of the second coming of Christ. And the first coming has not even yet come. So I look at the Joseph and I think it speaks of the resurrection is yet to come for you and I. We're not going to be left here. I know there's religions. I know there's denominations that teach that this earth is it. The Bible says this earth shall be burned up. The Bible says that we which are alive shall be caught up together to be forever with Him. Forever with Him. I also think that as we look at Joseph and look at things that's happened there, I think it looks like to me that Joseph understood God had a better promise for the nation of Israel. I'm telling you, dear friend, God has a better promise. Promise that you and I can even imagine. God will bring us up out of this land. We're not going to be here forever. Brother Bill was talking about in Sunday school this morning that he is hoping the Lord would come now and then maybe change his mind back and forth, back and forth. No, there's people need to be saved. Lord, come. People need to be saved back and forth. Kind of like what Paul was going through, right? I'm in a twix between a very hard spot. For Christ to come is gain, but for me to stay, Paul said, it's best for you. Joseph's casket, as they brought that coffin out and they took it out, Joseph understood there was a better land than Egypt. Isn't it amazing as you study the life of Egypt and Israel and the setting free as they went out, as Moses led them out? Their minds were trapped back in Egypt. Would it have been better for us to die there? There's garlics and leeks. I'm going to tell you, dear friend, if that's all you got to look forward is garlics and leeks, you got a pretty sad life. Because we got to look forward to the street of gold, river of life, sitting around the throne of God. spending time and worshiping with Him for eternity. All through life, believers are on their way in this journey. Like Abraham said, I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm looking for that city. I'm looking for the time when like Jesus said in John chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, there ye shall be also. I'm looking for that. That's what I'm looking for. And as I look back into the lives of Joseph and into the lives of those who died and gave themselves so that we can enjoy this time of service this morning, I think we need to take a long look and have a good understanding that Christ first conquered death, hell, and the grave for you and I. So that we can enjoy this freedom of understanding, reading the Bible, studying the Bible, having opportunity to have Bible studies and prayer meetings, that was given to us by those who laid down their life for our freedom. For our freedom. Remember, dear friend, we are on a journey as a nation. Are we a perfect nation? By no means. Is there another nation on this earth that has done good with what they've been given in such a short amount of time? I would say no. I would say that we've done great. Are we slacking? Are we lacking? Yes. But I think if we look back and remember what those have done before us, it will help us straighten our course out. If we turn our eyes back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Pastor, you believe military might's the answer? No, I don't believe it's the answer. I believe God's the answer. But I believe that God has blessed our nation. That's given us great freedom. And if we're not careful, we will lose these freedoms without even remembering what those have done before us. We need to be careful that we find ourselves daily in the Word of God, that we keep our minds fixed on where we're headed. This is not it. America is not the promised land. But it's a land of promise that we can be blessed in. It's not Israel. Don't get confused. He believes it. No. But God has blessed our nation because we have done our best to be a blessing to this world. Please don't let it slip, church. You say, well, I can't control our country. No, but you can control who you are. You can think back to last week. Was there one time that you could have been kind or gentle or helpful to somebody that you did not? One time, just last week alone. There were several times for me that I just passed it on by. The goodness of God brings men to repentance. And this day that we set aside as a nation to remember those, I also encourage you to remember what Christ has done for you. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Candace is on her way. This morning, maybe, perhaps, you've let it slip what God has really done for you. You hadn't really put thought into it here lately. Maybe I encourage you, dear friend, to come and say, Lord, I don't put quite as much thought into what you've done for me here lately. Forgive me. The altar's open. Maybe you're lost this morning. You've never trusted Christ, your personal Lord and Savior. Won't you come? Let us take the Bible and show you how you can have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.